Listening to sermons as we go about our days, driving around or doing our work, is a perfect reminder of our Lord's promises and of His mercies. This is the mission of Upper Room Media: to make the Word of God accessible to anybody and everybody.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. Good morning, everyone. So wonderful to see all your beautiful faces this morning. During this time, the church is fasting the fast of the apostles, and it's always important for us to kind of go back to the early Christian church and to learn from them. And a lot of times what we do is we learn from the things that they have done, and we don't focus so much on the things that they didn't have. If St. Peter and St. Paul and St. John and St. Mary Magdalene, they were walking among us as the first disciples, what would they do? How would they act? What would they say? The early Christian church was known as the Way. They weren't known as Christians. They were known as the Way. Why? Because what they spoke and how they acted, and they were known that these are the people of the Way. These are the people that we should follow, and these are the people that are following Christ. This morning I want to talk about something that the early church had and didn't have at the same time, or maybe just understood a little bit better than I understand it nowadays. We've all heard the words, you know, watch your mouth, young man, or watch your mouth, young lady, or I'm going to wash your mouth with soap, indicating that our words are so important. But I wonder if these words that I say right now to my children, do I apply them to myself? Do I actually watch what I say? You know, we heard the gospel that we just heard, and we've heard this probably a few times in our lifetime, and a lot of times, more often than not, our heart goes towards the topic of unity. And with good reason, we go to the topic of unity because Jesus said, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation. Every city or house divided against itself will not stand. If Satan cast out Satan, how shall his kingdom? He is divided against himself. How shall his kingdom stand? And this is really an important statement and an important topic. And yes, unity is important. And I'm not trying to minimize unity in any way possible. But it's important for us to go back and why to understand why Christ said this statement. Instead of focusing on the unity, I want to understand what brought Christ to say this. Christ said this because the Pharisees, who were the religious leaders of the time, said to themselves, and they said, now when the Pharisees heard it, they said, this fellow does not cast out demons except by Beelzebub. These words, maybe sometimes I don't really say those specific words, but the spirit that they said these words in, maybe I say it in, the spirit of judgment. They sat back and they judged the one who healed. The gospel started today by the one that was blind, mute, and demon-possessed. And he healed them, that all, like, everything was gone. It was such a great miracle. It's so easy for us to stand back and to judge others. It's so easy for us to sit back and to criticize. It's so easy for us to backbite. And Jesus knew their thoughts and said, I think it went more like, Jesus didn't just say, well, I knew your thoughts. Jesus said, like, say what? What are you thinking? This is what you're thinking, that a kingdom divided against itself is what I'm using here? I'm using Satan to cast out Satan? This morning's meditation is entitled, Say What? Because it's so important for us to understand that words are so important. The Pharisees, you see, their pride didn't allow them to come forward and ask Jesus and say, hey, how are you doing this? This is such a great miracle. Their pride made them sit back, stand back, and judge. And in verse 36, it says, Christ says to us, he says, but I say to you that every idle word men speaks, they will give account of it on the day of judgment. This word idle, these idle words, brings like to me like the imagery of an idle car. You know when a car is sitting idle, What is it? The car is turned on. It seems like it has life, like the motor is on. You hear it, but it's not going anywhere. Our words that he's speaking about, these idle words, are those words that seem like they are life, living words, but really they go nowhere. And the church, so many times, it reminds us that our words are important. It's important that our words matter. St. Basil the Great says, the most common and multifaceted sin is the one enacted by the tongue. And King David knew this. King David knew this when he prayed and he said in one of his Psalms, he said, set a guard, O Lord, over my lips. Keep watch over the door of my mouth, over my lips. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the doors of my lips. Words are so important. Words are so important. We've heard the saying, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But that's not true. And we all know that. We all know that when we've heard an insult from someone, that words do hurt. St. John Chrysostom speaks, when he speaks about the tongue and speech, he says, God has surrounded the tongue with a double wall, a barrier of teeth and a fence of lips, in order that we may not easily and heedlessly utter words it should not speak. Keep it curbed within your mouth. St. James in his epistle speaks about the tongue, and he dedicates a full chapter. And he speaks about the tongue as the tongue, basically, that we put bits in horses' mouth to kind of guide them, that the tongue is like a small fire that could burn down a forest. He says, if anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, able to brittle his whole body. The tongue is very powerful. Words are very powerful. It's not all bad news. Because some of us may be sitting here and say, well, I might as well take a vow of silence and never speak again. And some of us may appreciate that from other people, but some of us really are taking this to heart and saying, like, well, I'm never going to speak again. No, that's not the point. Because there's a lot of good that comes out of the tongue too. It says, O Lord, open my lips and my mouth shall show forth your praise. This is King David, the same person that just said, keep a guard over my mouth and keep a guard over my lips. He's also saying, open my lips. Which one is it, King David? Open or shut? Which one is it? Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Proverbs 18:21. Words are so powerful. Some of us sitting here may speak multiple languages, whether it's English, French, Spanish, German, Swahili, whatever. We may speak multiple languages. And some of us here only speak one language, our native language. But we are all bilingual regardless. We all speak either the language of praise or the language of put down. The language of praise is the language that can charm, that could bless, that could amend, that could comfort, that could give hope, that could advance us and others in our spiritual journey. That's the language of praise. The language of put down is the one that could wound and that curses and that makes enemies, that starts arguments, and that stops any type of progression. You've all started maybe a project in your life, and then somebody comes and doesn't give you such an encouraging word. They give you like this, you know, a discouraging word. What's your initial feeling is to stop this project. It's the same with our spiritual life. When somebody insults me, maybe I want to take a step back in my spiritual life. Words are so important. And you see this type of language actually in the story of the prodigal son. We know the story of the prodigal son. We know that the younger son took the money and went and lived his life. But when he came back, that's when language really mattered. Because that language, there was two people that spoke. And the ones that spoke were the older son and the father. The oldest son used the language of put down. He criticized his father. He criticized his younger brother and told him, he took your money and ran. Like, you're being fooled right now. He put him down, but the father's language was a language of praise. And he said, son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. And it was right that we should make merry and be glad. For your brother was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Words really matter. Words really matter. Unfortunately, we live in a society that there is abuse in the society, that there is children abuse and neglect. And what we see that on the news. When you see it on the news, you know that this child has been either physically abused or sexually abused, or this person has been physically abused or sexually abused, and that's what the news portrays, and that's what we see. But there's another type of abuse that is so much in our societies, but it doesn't get into the news, and that's verbal abuse. Verbal abuse is the type of abuse that inflicts emotional trauma used by words. It is harsh and threatening and degrading and insulting and humiliating words. Verbal abuse is something real. Verbal abuse, we may say sometimes that we're just kidding and whatever, but it the person that is taking it may be taking it as a verbal abuse. You know, what kind of example do I give my children when I disagree with my wife, and the way that I resolve this problem is through screaming and threatening and insulting? Verbal abuse is something really real in our lives. And we need to be able to look at our lives and say, you know, do I contribute to this? Do I verbally abuse somebody in my life? We need to be careful. Words are so important. The gospel today reminds us really gently about our words. That our words that we think may be so necessary to tell this person, that the words that I think are so right to say in this particular situation are nothing but idle words. Words that don't lead anywhere. Words that are just sitting there. Conclusion, I wanted to just give us one practical example that if we could do this, if we could spare 3 seconds before we speak any words, we will save ourselves lots of pain. And those 3 seconds are to ask ourselves 3 questions before we open our mouth. And those questions are, is what I'm about to say true? Is it necessary? And is it kind? It takes 3 seconds to ask yourselves those questions, but it would save a lifetime of pain. St. John Chrysostom tells us, let the mouth fast from foul words and unjust criticism. Let the mouth fast from foul words and unjust criticism. In this time that we're fasting, the fast of the apostles, which are known to be the ones that have preached the gospel in all the world. How did they preach? They used words, but they didn't use idle words. So I'm not asking everyone to stay quiet. All I'm asking is, can we use the same measure that the apostles used when they spoke? I'll conclude with a short prayer that I read, and I thought it was really nice, which was, today, Lord, make my words sweet, gracious, tender, and delightful, for tomorrow I may have to eat them. Amen. We pray all this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
This talk was brought to you by Upper Room Media. We hope that this talk has, through the grace of God, touched your heart. And we pray that it will not only inform you, but will also transform you and your life with Christ.